Treasurer Jim Chalmers calls it the number one challenge for the country's economy. Chalmers says it is the government's number one priority, and that, of course, is inflation. This week, the Reserve Bank yet again raised those interest rates, only by 0.25% this time. But there is a warning that if inflation isn't brought under control, the rises will continue. The Reserve Bank expecting inflation to peak by the end of the year. So there is some pain ahead. To delve into this a little bit more, both on a national level, but also, I think, for us in our part of the world, on a regional level, we've grabbed a few minutes now with local economist Pete Faulkner. He's from Conus Business Consultancy Services. Pete, welcome to the King Review. Tell us, first of all, just give listeners a bit of a rundown, a bit of a summary. Where are we at on a national level with inflation?
So CPI, so that's the sort of headline numbers that everybody will have heard about. CPI for the quarter, the most recent quarter, which was the third quarter of this year, so the September quarter, quarter on quarter increased 1.8%. And that gave a headline annual rate of 7.3%. So that's where we sit at the moment on the headline numbers. The numbers perhaps that the Reserve Bank will be more focused on are what's called core inflation, which kind of strips out some of the more volatile numbers. And that was 1.6% for the quarter, 5.6% for the year.
Give us a bit of historical context, I guess, pre-COVID. What kind of change have we seen?
Significant. I mean, the Reserve Bank basically are tasked with maintaining over the medium term, and there's a big question about what does the medium term mean, but over the medium term, they're tasked with keeping inflation somewhere between 2 and 3%. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a big question as to whether that means core inflation or headline inflation. Generally, the Reserve Bank would probably focus on core inflation. So if you're looking at core inflation somewhere between 2 and 3%, we haven't had that for quite some time. In fact, the last time we were anywhere within the boundary, within that range in core inflation was the end of 2015.
Right.
So since then, core inflation has been well below the target range until the sort of middle of 2021, at which time it started moving above. That was just into the range. So it wasn't actually until the final quarter of 2021 that we finally got a reading that was above the 2 to 3% range.
Mm. All right, so it's certainly a 2022 phenomenon by the looks of it. And of course, it's happening around the world. The US this week have raised those interest rates, so it's certainly not confined to our borders. Now, that's the national figure. Obviously, the Reserve Bank continues to be concerned about it. You do a lot of work there at Conus in terms of the regional CPI. Yeah. We don't get to see a lot of that. Tell us what you found there in terms of those regional CPI rates.
So the CPI is calculated just looking at the capital cities, and actually there's no consideration at all of regional areas.
Right. Mm.
So what we've been doing, and we've been doing this for some time, is basically looking at various measures that tell us how people spend differently in the regions than they do in the capital cities. So, you know, we spend more money on transport, for instance, in the regions than you would in the capital cities. Mm-hmm. That's not surprising. And because of those differences in spending patterns, we can rebase the CPI. We can reweight the elements within the CPI and therefore come up with numbers that tell us something about what might be happening with inflation in the regions rather than just the capital cities. So from a Queensland perspective, the Brisbane CPI was 1.8 quarter on quarter plus 7.9 for the year, so somewhat above the national figure. Our estimate of the Queensland region CPI, 1.8 quarter to quarter, so similar there, but plus 8.2 already on the annual basis. So it would appear that the region's inflation is running hotter than it is in the capital city, and that is hotter than it is at a national level. And I've kind of hinted at why that is. One of the major reasons for that is that transport was one of the biggest growers within the CPI. It was up 9%, over 9% over the year.
Mm.
And regional Queensland, higher percentage of its spending in transport than does in the capital in Brisbane. Mm-hmm. And therefore, that increase is having a disproportionate impact on our local CPI.
Let's have a quick chat about discretionary versus non-discretionary spending. Give us listeners a rundown. What does that mean? And what should we be considering there?
Yeah, so essentially, it's quite a worrying statistic. Discretionary and non-discretionary. Basically, discretionary is stuff that you don't have to buy. So it's stuff where it's perhaps recreational holidays, you know, the extra jet ski, the extra wide high-definition TV screen, those kind of things would come in discretionary spending. Non-discretionary is stuff you have absolutely no choice or very little choice about buying.
Food, example?
Food would be the classic example. Clothing to an extent. Shelter, so housing. And elements of transport these days, elements of communications. You know, pretty much everybody would think that having a mobile phone is not really a discretionary purchase. So things like that. Would count in non-discretionary. What's interesting is that the Australian Bureau of Statistics split the two out and calculate inflation measures for each. And what that shows us is that for discretionary spending, it's running at about 5.5% for the year. But non-discretionary is much hotter, 8.4%. So what we're seeing there and what that's telling us is that the people who will be hurting or be hurt most by the increase in prices are actually those who are spending a higher percentage of their income on non-discretionary spending. And that means people on lower incomes. So on lower incomes, you spend a much higher percentage of your total income on food, housing, transport, the stuff you have to have. And you've got less to spend on holidays and luxuries. The higher income you have, the less percentage spent on non-discretionaries, the more money you have for discretionary.
And because the non-discretion,
right, exactly, on the fun things. And because the non-fun things, the discretion, the non-discretionary stuff is going up at a faster rate, then what this tells us is inflation is actually hurting those with lower incomes more than it's hurting anybody else. And that clearly is something to worry about.
You're hearing from local economist from CONUS, Pete Faulkner. Finally, Pete, talk about the government's challenge here. You heard me say in the intro, Treasurer Jim Chalmers has called it the number one challenge for our economy. It's the number one priority of the Albanese government. What on earth do they do? There were some, I guess, some gripes about the recent budget. It didn't really help people in terms of the hip pocket, and the government was clear that that was not the intention of this budget. They didn't want to fuel inflation. What challenge does the government face going forward?
Yeah, look, it's a tight balancing act that they're currently having to negotiate. Essentially, you've got the Reserve Bank trying to tighten up the economy because inflation is running hot. So they're pushing up interest rates, as you said in your intro. They pushed up interest rates again this week. The market is expecting them to continue to push them up. We're looking for the cash rate to probably peak out somewhere around 4% by first or second quarter of next year. So that's what the market's thinking, and the Reserve Bank certainly aren't giving any indication that they're for turning just yet. So interest rates going up to try and calm the economy and take some of the heat out. The last thing that you want is then the federal agent or the federal government taking fiscal measures which would pump the economy up. You don't want the two operating in different directions. So in a sense, if you were to have a budget where there was a lot of money out there for assistance with fuel prices, for instance, that was something that was talked about. You know, lots of tax cuts or lots of spending being pumped into the money into the economy by way of fiscal spending, that would be working in exactly the opposite direction to what the Reserve Bank's doing. And you really don't want both your monetary policy and your fiscal policy pulling in completely opposite directions. If that were to be the case, all that's likely to happen is that inflation would persist for longer. It would likely be higher, and you would see interest rates continue to move higher for longer, which nobody really wants to see. So that's the situation the government's in at the moment. Politically, you know, any politician loves to pump money into an economy. That buys them votes generally. So they'd love to do that. They'd love to have a nice loose budget and spend lots of money, cut taxes and all the rest of it. But that would essentially fuel the inflation that the Reserve Bank are precisely trying to stifle at the moment by pushing rates higher.
Pete Faulkner from CONUS Business Consultancy. You can also see a deep dive from Pete in the November edition of the Cairns Report, cairnsreport.com.au. Fantastic insights, that's for sure. Pete Faulkner, thanks for your time on the King Review today.
Thanks, Gavin. You have a good day.